It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Hello, sports fans.
Well, hello there.
Local sports, national sports. The GCAT has got you covered.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Time to tee it up and let it fly. It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Check it out, John.
You have reached the end of your work week. Another beautiful day outside. My wife calls it a Vegas day. Kind of familiar with it from last summer. We were there for the Pelicans Summer League. Not a cloud. Not a cloud in the sky. It's like 72 degrees. It's absolutely gorgeous. As we're live outside in the party shack, Goldmine on Airline, home of your Norwood Gold, as they get ready to finally get back on the pitch after a bye week this past week. We'll take on the Chicago Hounds. We will speak with head coach Corey Brown at some point here today. Schedule will come on next segment. Rafael Esparza needs to come on a little bit earlier. So at 12:30, we will have Mr. Vegas. Andrew Lopez going to try to get with us here as well. He's literally right behind me down the street at the Pels facility. Shoot-around is going on. Will Zion play? Will the Pels get a win? They need one. Leo Haggerty is going to come on at 1:30 because at 2:30, his normal Friday slot, Shamit Dew is going to join us. And he tweeted and posted some numbers yesterday about the lineup with Zion Williamson, with Larry Nance, or Jonas Valanciunas. So we'll kind of go into that a little bit here as well. Then Marlon Favorite at 2:15. Your phone calls will come via the Ruderman Can Hotline, 800-998-1003, as our one is brought to you by No Wake Outfitters. We'll be there 1 week from today. I'm not inviting 4K after what he said yesterday, what he wants to go and do in the pool. It is a demo pool, so you can go see what fly fishing's all about. Kayaks, all of that will be out there next Friday on Airline. It's between Causeway and the Orleans Jefferson Parish line, across from Premier Fitness, the big furniture store. That's where No Wake Outfitters is located. So super excited about going there a week from today. So we got a lot to get into. So that's your guest list. You know the phone number. Let's go.
It's
are off and running on this Friday. See if the Pels can get a win. What do you think, Pels fans? Here's the good thing about it.
Come on, y'all.
As buddy, I'm just sending you right now. Andrew Lopez says he can join me right now. So if you can, sir, give Andrew Lopez a buzz as we get ready to talk a little Pels basketball here. So, buddy, if you can hear me, give Andrew Lopez a call, sir. He covers not only your Pelicans, but also the San Antonio Spurs for ESPN. As it is a big game. They're all big games. Look, let's just start with the most important aspect of this. While the Pels have been losing, last night the Houston Rockets lost. Why was that important? Well, the Houston Rockets are 15 games back to first place Minnesota. The Pelicans are 8. Do the math. 15 minus 8 is 7. There's only 6 games left. That means, ladies and gentlemen, congratulations. Pelicans are in the postseason. They are guaranteed no less than a play-in spot. Now, granted, that is not what you want. The goal is obviously get out of the play-in. You want to be able to host or at least play in a first round. Thank you, buddy, for getting Andrew Lopez in. So, Andrew, thanks, man, for joining us. I know it's busy. It's hectic. It's game day. It's all of that and more. But I was just saying, look, you're in. That's not where you want to be right now with the Pelicans. But you are in the play-in with 6 to play. Sir, how are you this afternoon?
I am good, man. I am wonderful. I am not going to lie. You're not supposed to cheer as media member. I might be slightly cheering for a win tonight only because I am fearful that if I come home and they go for an 0-4 road stand or home stand, I might not be back allowed back in the building if this doesn't go their way tonight.
But it's completely your fault.
Sure.
Yeah, I saw you back on Wednesday. You've been here for a couple of days, so yes, I will blame you. I got to blame something. No, look, in all honesty, though, because you're here and you're in San Antonio and you're covering all this and you're looking from the outside, what do you think? Well, what you've seen with the Pels from this homestand, you got to put your eyes on it on Wednesday. What is the issue right now? Why this team sort of looks almost like an identity difference than where they were just a couple weeks ago?
Well, I think there's one big part about that. I think I don't know if people maybe really realized what he meant, but I think that starts with Brandon Ingram. The fact that you haven't had, you know, you're missing 20 points a game. You're missing, you know, 5-6 assists a game. You're missing a playmaker. You're missing somebody who can do, you know, some of these things. And I think not having him is hurting. For one, I think what that allows other teams to do, no matter what shooters you have on the floor, if it's Trey, if it's whatever you have, teams are now going to be able to load up on Zion even more than they have previously. And not having somebody who can get out there and kind of get you through some of these spells without Z is big. I think you look at CJ. CJ's been great all year, but I think CJ's had a stretch where even he mentioned it the other night. He had 4 shots the other night that, you know, went in and out the rim. 2 threes, 2 floaters, that's 10 points. There was a lot of text the other night. You cost yourself in a lot of ways against Orlando, I think. In the Phoenix game, you get down so much early that nothing you were going to do was really going to help. That also didn't help. And I think OKC and Boston, those were ones that I really saw. That's where you missed Brandon the most, especially that Boston game. You had an 11-point quarter in the third quarter. That one is when you really hurt him. And it's like, that's the one that, and man, he could have got us through that third quarter, and maybe things turn out differently, but I really think it's missing Brandon right now, outside of just not getting enough threes. You should be with just Z on the floor and no Brandon, you should be getting 35, 40 attempts a game, and that just hasn't been what they're doing.
Andrew, I don't know if you're familiar with this, but there's apparently a conversation going on around town with a lot of fans and callers. To JV or not to JV? What do you make of coaches almost kind of switching the last couple months here to go small ball? And Jonas Valanciunas, who I think is a walking double-double. Again, I'm closer to it maybe, perhaps. I don't know. What do you make of that? And with the numbers, the analytics, or just what your eyes or your gut sees you, is that a difference that we've seen the last couple of weeks?
Yeah, I think... that's just something that there. Look, Jonas is he was a double double last year, playing 25 minutes a game. He is going to be the best option for you. I think in an ideal world, what you're probably doing, if you have, you know, your starting lineup intact, is you're running Brandon and Z extended minutes, and then you're letting JV and CJ have the second unit. I think you've seen that just a little bit, but. What they would like to do on the defensive end is they want to switch. They want to red. That's what Willie calls it. They want to switch 1-5. We've seen them do that, and I think, you know, either going small with Z or going smaller with Larry gives you some different looks. I think at times maybe they've gone a little too far away from JV. I'd still like to see him in the 25-minute range, which is where he was last year. I don't think there should be games he plays 9 minutes or 10 minutes or 12 minutes or 15 or whatever he has. You need a little bit more of that, just because sometimes he is a stabilizing presence. He can rebound. He is going to help you. It'll be interesting to see how they play it tonight against Wemby, because Wemby's going to play on the perimeter. You're not necessarily going to want maybe JV there, especially because they're going to be missing a lot of pieces. How do you play him? So, I think sometimes you are reacting to what other teams are doing instead of dictating what other teams should do. But I think you should play him. He should still be in that 24 to 26 minute range where he was last year. and use him a little bit more to kind of maybe stabilize, you know, some of that maybe third quarter offense sometimes, or sometimes when he's out, especially that you don't have Brandon Green.
Yeah, I think that's a fair assessment, especially because, especially right now during the stretch, we haven't won games, and you're playing some better teams, bigger teams. It's what John Madden said back in the day. The team that scores the most points wins the game. Scoring's down for the Pels, and they're also being out-rebounded. So I don't know if there's a correlation on that, but my eyes tell me, you know what, why not? Now, you mentioned him. Got about 4 minutes left here, sir. Victor Wembanyama, somebody forgot to tell them in the Spurs that they're dead last in the West. My eyes tell me they're playing better basketball. You're front row and seeing him. I mean, there was a sequence with him and Jokic earlier this week that went back and forth that was unbelievable. I think he blocked them 4 times. This guy is the real deal, huh? Now that you're going into the last week of the regular season, all the hype from Vegas to when I saw you to now, what do you make of Victor Wembanyama's rookie season?
It somehow met expectations, if not exceeded them. Maybe exceeded my own expectations. I thought he'd come in, maybe average, you know, 16 and 8 with 2 to 3 blocks a game, still kind of get the feel for everything. And that's what he did for maybe like the first like 3 weeks of the season. And then everything changed. And they started playing in the center, and he's had just some ridiculous games. I mean, he's had a 5-by-5 this year. He's missed a 5-by-5-by-1. He's had a triple-double with assists. He's had a triple-double with blocks. He's had a 40-20 game. A couple of nights ago, he missed a quadruple-double in that Nuggets game by, I believe, 1 block and 2 assists. He had 23-15, 9 blocks, 8 assists. it has been a ridiculous ride, and I think he is good. And you look at their last 5 games, they're last in the West. They're fighting for, in theory, lottery position, but they beat the Phoenix Suns in a game without Wendy. They beat the Utah Jazz. They came back home. That was the 40-20 game where they had Jalen Brunson put up 61, and they went behind 40-20 from him. They've lost their last two without Devin Vassell, Jeremy Sohan, 2 starters. Their last game, they didn't play Keldon Johnson. And all they've done were lose to the defending champs by 5 and lose to the Golden State Warriors, who are also trying to win games to climb and stay, you know, out of the Rockets' reach. And they lost that game by 4 or 5. So it's an incredible basketball that they're playing right now. This is not going to be an easy game, I think, tonight, despite them losing. I think Jetty Osmond, who had started, is not going to play. Keldon Johnson's out. Obviously, Vassell and Sohan are out for the rest of the year. Vic's still Vic, man, and it's going to be like, hey, we need to pay attention to what he's doing, and I think that's going to be a big key. But it's been amazing to watch, and you know, a 7'4" guy doing the things that he does. It still doesn't make sense to me.
No, I mean, like you mentioned, they won 3 games, lost to the Warriors by 4, lost to the Nuggets by 5, and both of those teams are playing really good basketball right now. Final thing for you. In sports, we always see confidence can be such a big thing, especially to end when things aren't going well. And I do feel if the Pels can get a win here, maybe split that road trip that's coming up, and get that 6 or above, I think they can get back to sort of where they were, B.I. coming back and all of that. That said, you got to win here in these 6 games, man, right?
This one is huge. Portland is huge. There's the obviously that Suns game on Sunday. Suns are playing incredible basketball. You gotta get 2 on that road trip, and you gotta get tonight, and hope that you're in a spot maybe on Sunday that the Lakers aren't playing for something, and maybe everybody rests and you can take that one and get to 6. But look, you almost could have got 5 last night just because of the way the standings work. Everything is close. Everything is still unstable. You can still go out and get what you wanted, which was not being the play.
You know Graf, right? You know how he is with the Falcons and the Saints. Well, the Lakers are only a game and a half behind the Pelicans right now. So, I mean, you know what's coming on Sunday of next week. So we'll see what takes place. Andrew, thank you for hopping on short notice, sir. We'll see you at the game. Thank you so much, man.
Later.
Yep, Andrew Lopez covers your Pelicans and Spurs for ESPN. Quick break. We come back. The coach is already next to me out here in the Party Shack on the Gold Mine on Airline. An absolutely gorgeous afternoon. Hopefully this weather, Coach, bottles up and we see you tomorrow here on the pitch as well, huh?
Yeah, let's hope so. It's a beautiful day.
Exactly. It's really nice. Take a quick break. When we come back, we'll talk some NOLA Gold Rugby. They're back home and getting back on after a bye week. We'll talk with Corey Brown next on ESPN New Orleans.
The Sports Hangover with Gus Catania.
We used to standings watch when we come to your New Orleans Pelicans. When it comes to NOLA Gold, hey, I kind of like this. Head coach Corey Brown joining us here to my right as we're live at the Party Shack here at the Gold Miner and Airline. So your team is tied first on top of the table standings here in the Eastern Conference with the New England Free Jacks, 15 points apiece. That's how it goes. It's not a bad thing to be in that spot after the first quarter of the season, huh?
No, it's a nice start, and it's a good start for us, but it's only the start of the season, really, so we've got to make sure we play well tomorrow.
We talked about it last week here as well, just your assessment of what you thought through the first four games, first quarter of the season, kind of looking at it. Now, you had a little time off, come back, kind of look at it. Do you still kind of feel the same? Where do you think your club is right now?
Yeah, I think we've... I think the combinations and the results and some of the performances have been pretty good. We just probably haven't quite put in that 80 minutes. Mm-hmm. So hopefully that's our plan for this weekend and moving forward is to put in an 80-minute performance because we've been good in halves and maybe the first half against Dallas thought we were really good, play some good rugby, the same against the Free Jacks. So hopefully we can just do an 80 minutes performance.
Let's kind of look at it on the other side, and obviously everybody wants to be able to, you know, start to finish, kind of play their kind of ball here as well. But in terms of being able to score and put up points, when we first talked to you at the beginning of the season, you said you wanted to have a team that, you know, was fast, uses athleticism, you know, and kind of be able to do that. How do you feel offensively you guys have been?
Yeah, I think it's going well, but it's on the back of probably good defense, okay. On the back of a good set piece. So, look, we've got some exciting players out on the wing with Ed Fido and Taniela Finamoni. You know, they both can finish a try, so it's great that we're able to move that ball to them and give them some time and space so they can do their thing, and they're both pretty quick.
You mentioned, you said it was maybe on the back of the defensive side. As we look to that side of the ball here as well too, when you look at Dallas was the last game that you guys played, right? That they were a team that had been putting up a lot of points. I think you said something like 70 in the last two games or something of that nature, which is a lot of points no matter where you look at it. What is it that's made you guys been able to be pretty good on defense?
I think it's definitely our mindset and our attitude towards it and everyone working hard for each other. So look, all sports and rugby's is exactly the same. If you get your mindset right, and everyone buys into what you're doing and you work hard for each other, normally you can defend well. Mm-hmm. And look, my sort of philosophy as a coach is to attack and defend as one. So, you know, we can't do one without the other. So if we can get our D right, then we're able to move that ball to space when we get it from the back of good defense. And then we don't want to kill our D by over-attacking. So.
You mentioned whether it's rugby. We were talking basketball with Andrew Lopez here as well. It doesn't matter the sport. You want fast starts, and you want to be able to close there at the end. Yeah. And when I look back at your first four games, it was kind of something like that, right? There was a game to start the season. Didn't start the way you kind of wanted to. You closed in that first half in that home win, and you've had some games. So you started out well, things of that nature. How do you kind of go about doing that? Is it just training, practicing, the more time guys are together? Is it just how the game kind of goes sometimes, figuring out their game plans? Or
yeah,
how does that kind of go?
It's probably around momentum in sport, I reckon. So sometimes you can get that momentum, and it could be in the first half. So once you have the momentum, it's really important that you capitalize on that and score those points when that momentum is with you. And I guess, you know, it's no different to basketball, no different to American football or football. When you have the momentum, it's easier for your attack. But then how do you get that when you don't have it? So, you know, it's the game within the game, really.
You can hear the beautiful breeze that we got out here on airline as well, coming in from the north, which is why it's nice and not humid here for sure. Coach, obviously one of the things that I always focus on, again, no matter the sport, when there's a bye week, health. Health is a big thing here as well. It's nice when I walk through the clubhouse just now, I didn't see 15 people getting worked on over there. How healthy you guys are through the first four?
Look, that last game definitely did take it out of us. Uh-huh. We had like a couple serious injuries. We had a red card. But what was really pleasing was around the resilience that we showed to come back and to win that game. But there was a few banged up bodies, so the bye week did come at a good time for us, and they're able to rest and get sort of ready to get back on for tomorrow. So it's been a good week around that. We knew guys wouldn't be available for this week, so that they're not available. But the next man has to stand up.
And you've mentioned before that you feel legitimate. I know every coach kind of wants and hopes that you have depth, but you felt that this team, one of its strengths can be the depth, right?
Yeah, definitely. I think Fitzy's done a great job of around recruiting a little bit more depth than in previous seasons in certain positions where you normally sort of get a few banged up bodies in a couple of positions. So we have a little bit of depth. It was challenged and tested, definitely, for this week. But look, that's what we've tried to do at the club, is just to make sure that when someone gets the opportunity, that they're ready for that opportunity. So it's just next man up, and hopefully he'll take it tomorrow.
And I ask you that because as a coach, obviously the available bodies of what you have maybe can affect what kind of game plan, how you want to attack certain teams and stuff. Do you feel like you can still be the kind of club that you want to be?
Yeah, 100%. Look, 100% confidence in whoever comes in, and as long as they prepare well,
sure,
and then focus on how they're going to perform well and go out there and execute it tomorrow, and that's what rugby's about.
Right, 3-1 in the first quarter of the season. You got four games in the month of April, two here, two away. You're going to host the Chicago Hounds, which we'll get to in a quick second. Then you're at San Diego, a little bit of a road trip there on one side of the coast. And then you host Miami. At least, thankfully, you don't have to go to Miami to follow it a week. But then you go back to Anthem RC to, you know, it still is a little bit on the East Coast there, that aspect of it, over in North Carolina. What do you see in this stretch here in these four games?
Look, they've all got a challenge. I think Chicago's a really good side that have probably just been a little bit unlucky in their results. They had a huge lead last weekend, and it was a great comeback for them. Well, not for Chicago, but they unfortunately lost that. And San Diego, one of the top teams, are in the final last year, so they're going to be a real challenge. They're a good side, big side.
Audubon 2 is going to have some animals out here. They call them the animal ambassadors. So kids can go out there and check out the animals. Plus, some of the proceeds going to go to Children's Hospital. So that's always a good thing, helping kids.
Yeah, 100%. We did a really good promotion during the week, and it's an awesome cause. The boys were at the hospital there and meeting a lot of the kids. And, yeah, it's an amazing cause. So hopefully we get a really good crowd, and then all those proceeds can go to the Children's Hospital.
I felt like, and I promise I won't do this every time I talk to you, but I feel like every time I talk to you, I ask you about an animal from where where you're from down there in New Zealand. Do you have a favorite American animal?
Favorite American
animal?
Well, I've been walking around the bayou looking for a few alligators. So I saw one in City Park the other day, so I was pleased that I was able to see
3 weeks from this week will be the Zurich Classic of New Orleans. I think one has, his name is Tripod, he has three legs. But he tends to kind of hang out there on a golf course. I don't know if you're a golfer or not. Maybe you might be able to sneak out there and catch a game.
Definitely enjoy my golf, yeah.
Do you? Okay. Yes. Did you get to enjoy some time during the bye week?
Yeah, I shot home because the wife and kids are back in New Zealand, so I shot home to see the family, to make sure everyone was all good, and then shot back over on Sunday. So it was
home. I mean, it's like a 40-hour flight. How long does it take you to get there?
I was about 20 hours.
20 hours. 20 there and 20 back.
Yeah.
Can you sleep on the plane? I can't.
No, not really. So
I lost
a couple of days.
But. Yeah. It's not good for me. I don't know what it is about that. Well, Coach, look, you're off to a 3-1 start. That's a good start. Obviously, you have goals to be playing for championships later on here as well. 1 month under your belt. The next four sets coming. And may you have another bye week, huh?
Yeah, we've got another one in 4 weeks. Yeah.
Okay, so there you go. So do you like how that sort of sat there? You can play four bye week, play four bye week?
I think the first 4 weeks have certainly suited us. Hopefully the next four do. Mm-hmm. We've got a bit of a stretch leading into the end of the season. We've got 8 games in a row. So it would have been nice to maybe have 6 games, a bye, and then 6 games. But
gotcha.
That would have been ideal, but that's just the way it is. It's what the draw is, and you just got to deal with it, really.
3 p.m. on Saturday, it's the Gold taking on the Hounds. Then it will be on the road against San Diego on the 14th, right back here at the Gold Mine on April 20th. That is also a 3 p.m. game before going out on the road to end the month on April 27th over in North Carolina against Anthem RC, a team you guys already played this season. So let's see what happens, man.
Yeah, thank you.
Yep, for sure. And Coach Corey Brown of your NOLA Gold again, 3 o'clock on Saturday. We'll take a quick break, and we come back. We will chat with Rafael Esparza a little bit earlier than his normal Friday segment. You might have heard there is a women's Final Four tonight. The ticket prices are twice on the secondary market, Jimmy, if you're listening, as much as the men's Final Four this weekend, which is, of course, Saturday and Monday. You got the two games tonight. We'll talk to them about that. We'll talk to them about some Major League Baseball. I haven't forgotten, Graf. Your Dodgers, your cheating Dodgers, taking all my Cubbies this weekend. How does he feel about that? We'll touch on all of that and more when we come back. It's the Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans.
Hello, sports fans.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengau.
Hour one of the Sports Hangover is presented by, brought to you by, the Wake Outfitters. We'll be there 1 week from today. Looking forward to it. Rafael Esparza, maybe we can dunk you into the demo pool. You know how to fly fish? You know how to do that, sir?
I have never flied fish. I have not fished since I left the Midwest. Jeez, 28 years ago.
Nice. So we'll expect you next Friday then to put on a fly fishing performance. They're going to be out there showing you how to fly fish and everything. You should come out.
I'm in Phoenix and Vegas next
here
weekend.
We go. 3 weeks, sir, to the NFL draft. I know you're super excited about that. You want to do the next 45 minutes on the NFL draft?
Sure, why not? It's only not women's Final Four, men's Final Four, WrestleMania weekend. I did an interview yesterday, and that was the first question they asked me. So what do you think about the Houston Texans? I wanted to hang up. I'm like, really?
Yeah. No, we got time. We got time. We'll do that, I promise. But to your point, this is a pretty big weekend, man. So let's kind of get to it here from the first and foremost. We'll wind up with, I think, is something that everyone is going to be paying attention to here with the women's Final Four. So we'll wrap up with that. I'll ask you a little Cubbies Dodgers. Do we have a shot of winning a game? We'll ask you some NBA scores, but I do want to kind of just start quickly there because I'm actually interested because I have Peacock now, thanks to the Chiefs game, and my wife got it, so now I can see it. WrestleMania, I saw Cody Rhodes yesterday on Sports, or Wednesday. It was on First Take, so it's kind of a big thing. What do you make of this? The Rock is actually going to participate. It's going to happen. I've been waiting for it. I've been wanting to see it. The Rock will be in a ring. He will wrestle on Saturday and Sunday, huh? You think Sunday, too?
Yeah, he'll be there 2 days. I mean, the huge favorite for the tag team match, the last match on Saturday, Roman Reigns, Cody Rhodes, and Seth Rollins and The Rock. Roman Reigns and The Rock are a huge favorite. They're minus 900, which that means they should win. They're going to win. If you want to look at the storyline and all that, Roman Reigns and The Rock wins. Bloodline rules on Sunday. I did a podcast the other day with Jonathan Coachman, who used to work for WWE. It's on my stuff. He breaks it down a lot thoroughly because we broke down betting and entertainment and what's best for business all at the same time when we were talking about odds. So it was really good. I loved his take in this, but Roman Reigns and The Rock close out Saturday with a big W. The ones will be pointing upwards Saturday night.
Okay, I see that. Do you want to give me a prediction? The Rock can't win, though, huh?
My prediction is, and the Roman Reigns and The Rock win on Saturday, Sunday, The Rock turns on Roman Reigns and Cody, and the Cody crybabies win and stuff like that. Now, I've heard multiple different scenarios of that, so it should be interesting. But I see the Cody crybabies winning Sunday night. He gets the belt.
Man, they really did cry, didn't they, huh? Man, did they cry when The Rock came back. Anyway, I'm looking forward to it, seeing it on a Saturday and Sunday. Pels play Sunday afternoon game. I should be back in time to be able to watch what happens there towards the end. All right, let's get to the NBA because it is a big game here. We spoke with Andrew Lopez to lead off the show. The Spurs game is not going to be easy. I'm just looking at it from a betting standpoint and the numbers here. It's a lot of points here that the Pels are giving 11.5 to the Spurs.
And this will be 12. This one will probably be 12 by tip-off. And it is a lot of points. I would want nothing. I mean, I think the Pels do win this one, but I want nothing to do betting-wise, not even a total. If you're a Pels fan, just sit there and watch and get a W. That's all you want. You don't care if you cover the number, just get a W. If you're a betting perspective, maybe see if it goes past 12, 12.5, then maybe take
the Spurs on that one. I wouldn't touch this game. And I've been telling you, on our text chain, I said this is a totally different team because of injuries. I mean, with Bye being out, their bench is different. Their subs are different. I mean, that's a big key loss. I think that's what it's showing up in how they're playing. Now Z's injured with a finger. I mean, it's a huge, huge factor. And I remember a couple months ago where the graph was at, I think we were at Katie's or whatever. He's like, this team is fantastic, blah, blah, blah. And I said, this team will go as far as injuries will take them. And he blew me off and stuff like that. And it's sad to say that injuries has been a part of the second half. Hopefully they all come healthy during playoff time because they can make noise if they're healthy. If not, they're not going to make any noise.
Yeah, I would like next Sunday to be a nice, relaxing Sunday. Carver and the misses are going to go to that game as well here against the Lakers. I just have an uneasy feeling that game could... They're only a game and a half above the Lakers, man.
I know. It shocks me. But again, I mean, I know our fearless leader, John Forecase, can say, oh, they stink, fire everybody, they can't win. Injuries is a big factor of this game. And he's going to tell me, oh, it's not coaching this, owner this, and this. Injuries in basketball is totally different than injuries in any sport because it affects the bench and your role players more than anything.
Yeah, well, I mean, to your point, if the Lakers didn't have AD or LeBron right now, they wouldn't be as hot as they are. If Steph Curry wouldn't be playing, I don't think Golden State's doing what they're doing. If Phoenix didn't have Devin Booker or Durant, I don't know if they'd be doing what they were doing right now, right?
Yeah, I mean, especially when Beal was out, the Suns were a totally different team because now they had bench players that were starting, didn't know how to be starters. How were they going to react with KD getting the ball and Booker getting the ball? It affects so many different options. But 4K is correct. Fire everybody.
Fire everybody. No one's good. Now you know what it's like to do the show with him on Thursday. So when you look at this game, man, look, there are other games, obviously, that you are scoreboard watching tonight in case of that. And, I mean, look, it was weird. Yesterday you wanted the Kings to win. I guess you wanted them to lose. They're at Boston. Boston just looks something like completely different than everyone else. They're 8.5-point favorites, though. How do you feel on that one?
Boston is taking a playbook on the UConn Huskies, and men are taking a playbook. Just take no prisoners. Just jump on them quickly and keep the metal to the pedal and blow them out. This one's kind of iffy. I mean, Sacramento played last night. I would probably look at Boston because I just think Boston wants not just meant to make a statement all the way through the playoffs. And if this one goes any higher than 9 pass, I would pass on it, but I want nothing to do betting against the Boston Celtics, and I think Boston probably win this game.
7:30, Warriors, Mavericks, Dallas, 5.5-point favorites here.
I like the Mavs. I saw a stat. I don't know what station I was watching. How many games that these two have been playing? The Mavs, there's backcourt, and it's probably the best games that they've been playing since like their rookie seasons.
Yeah,
they're healthy. They're playing together, and they're playing quiet basketball. They're not yelling at the refs and getting texts and saying stupid stuff to the media, and Kyrie's not saying the earth is flat and stuff like that. They're playing quiet basketball, and they're playing quiet good basketball. I wouldn't want to play the Mavericks in the playoffs in the West.
Timberwolves and Suns would be a good one. 9 o'clock, this game is in Phoenix. New Orleans will be at Phoenix on Sunday. Suns 4.5-point favorites over the T-Wolves.
Yeah, this one opened up at 3, and I liked Phoenix. Now the way it's climbing up, I want to wait to see how high it goes. I think Phoenix does win this one, but boy, Minnesota finally the number one seed in the West. I'm sure they probably want to hold on to that one. But Phoenix, I mean, Booker's just going nuts. Their last two games, 122 points, 124 points. Their second to last home game when they were at home at full print before they went on their 5-game road trip, 129 points against the Raptors. Phoenix can light it up quickly. I'm leaning towards the Suns on this one, but I'm also leaning towards the over. I'm shocked that this total has dropped 4 points, opened up at 220.5, now 216.5.
Oh, boy. And then the Jazz and the Clippers, can L.A. win at home, taking on the Jazz? They're 12.5-point favorites.
They'll win, but there's no way they're covering it. I mean, I don't know who's playing. It's so hard to bet an L.A. game in basketball, Lakers or Clippers. Who's playing? Who's not playing? I'm just waiting. I've been telling people on multiple stations I've been doing, if anytime you see L.A. in the NBA just pass, don't bet it, don't look at it, because you know who's playing. Every time you look at the injuries, LeBron may be questionable, AD may, Kawhi. I mean, just pass and wait for playoff basketball for L.A. basketball.
Well, all right. Easy enough to look at it from that perspective. All right, let's go to women's hoops. Final four here, man. I got to be honest with you. I'm kind of glad in the studio today at the arena. I'll be watching the Spurs and Pels, and then on one of those TVs, I will be watching the women's final four. I mentioned earlier to start the show, tickets twice as expensive on the secondary market than the men's final four. NC State, South Carolina at 6 o'clock tonight. South Carolina 36-0. 11.5-point favorites. What am I doing here?
Yeah, I can't wait to watch this. I did a press release for one of the companies I work for, Doc Sports, about the popularity of women's sports just on TikTok alone and how these ladies are outdoing everyone, Bronny, LeBron, and stuff like that. It got picked up by a lot of networks. And I'm excited. I've been a big fan of women's sports. I was the first odds maker to put odds on WNBA, their inaugural season, many, 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 many moons ago. I am totally blown away. I am excited to watch these two games and that much than tomorrow's two games. I think, this one's tough. I think South Carolina rolls. They just have so much to prove. They're still upset what happened. They know they should have won last year. I think they cover this 11.5 against NC State. And, man, Iowa and Connecticut, it's a coin flip. I've been a big Paige Beckers fan since her freshman year. She was Caitlin Clark her freshman year, and no one knew about Caitlin Clark her freshman year. It was Paige Buckets. I think Iowa wins this one because Connecticut is so shorthanded. They're only running six people. They were probably a minute to 2 minutes left of their last game to only having four ladies on the court. That's how much foul trouble. They only run five, six deep, period. Just stress because they're so injured. I think Iowa takes advantage of that and tries to get early fouls. I think it's Iowa and South Carolina in the finals. If Connecticut would have had seven or eight ladies, then I think I would take the plus points. But I think foul trouble is going to be huge in this game. I think that's why Iowa wins.
All right, finally, let's do it. I got to work with them tonight. Dodgers and the Cubs. Game one of the weekend series. Ed Wrigley, 44 degrees, the temperature at first pitch, by the way, coming up at 120.
Yeah. That benefits the Cubs. I mean, because Cubs are used to playing this type of baseball. You got Kendrick, you got Hendricks on the mound. Yeah. He's going to be probably jamming pit hitters in the knuckles all day long. That's why the total 7.5, the wind is blowing in. I think the Cubs win one or two games in this series.
Really?
They won't get swept. They're a lot better team. They like to play small ball. They're starting to steal bases now. Key guys are getting key hits at the same time. I like the Cubs to win one or two games. They don't get swept against the Dodgers. As long as the wind keeps on continue blowing, if the wind blows out Saturday or Sunday, we could see Mookie hit three home runs.
Yeah, Ohtani finally got a home run this week here as well. 1 week of baseball in the books. Yankees 6-1, Sox 5-2, Orioles 4-2 in the Central. The Tigers finally lost their 5-1. Cleveland 6 wins. In the early going, the defending champs, the Rangers, right there with the Angels, 4 wins, 4-2 overall in the NL. They got the Braves, 3-2. Is that a bit of a surprise, their slow start that they've had?
Kind of, but weather had a lot to do with it as well. So they played the White Sox, was in it. I almost said Comiskey. In bad weather, wind was blowing in, misty, so I blame the weather most of it.
There's only one team that hasn't won, and that's Miami. What is going on with them? I did not see them starting out 0-8. A lot of people are saying, hey, you had a good season. You got rid of what, the GM there? And
yeah.
I don't know, karma.
I think it is karma. And there's two teams that I'm looking, that I'm hoping they continue to fall apart because I'm looking for the Cubs and other key teams to make some trades their deadline. The Blue Jays, Guerrero could be one of those ones that could be on his way. Bichette could be one of those guys that be on our way out. The Miami Marlins, they have two pitchers that could be on their way out. Love to see one of the Cubs pick up one of them. So there's a couple teams that's out there. The New York Mets, they've been awful. They finally won their one game. Would love to see their first baseman be our first baseman as a Cubs fan. So there's three teams that I'm hoping to continue to fall apart because I'm hoping the Cubs could pick up some of their guys that they just want to give away.
Final thing for you as an LSU side to it. The Pirates started out hot last year, if I remember. They started out really well,
yep,
and then they didn't towards the end of the year. They're 6-1 right now. If they can sustain it, I don't know, say they're first or second midsummer. Do they bring it? Paul Skeens.
I don't know. I haven't really checked up on how he's doing in the minors. I mean, I guess when I see the Pirates, I just think, oh, it's, it must be the beginning of baseball season because they did it so many times before.
Right.
I'm a big Pittsburgh sports fan. I love the Steelers. I loved watching them when I was a kid. Franco Harris is one of my favorite football players. Willie Stargell. I loved all them. I'm rooting for them, but I just can't see them staying consistent. But I hope so. But, I mean, I don't want them to win too much. I want the Cubs to win a division. I have the Reds coming in second.
I lied to you. I do have to ask you one more thing. How surprised were you, because I was, the report that Bronny James, I knew he was going into the portal. He's declaring for the draft as well? Do you think he gets drafted next year?
No. I don't know why they did that. I'm a huge supporter for the transfer portal for him. You know about my health issues and stuff like that. I can't imagine what it goes through his mind every day at practice, knowing that, hey, this is the spot that I got zapped in my chest. I'm so happy that he went to the transfer portal. Go somewhere different. Get everything out of your mind. Start fresh. I have no idea why he entered in. Edie, the tallest guy in the NCAA tournament, who's been dominant in the NCAA tournament, is projected to maybe not even get drafted. So if he doesn't get drafted, and Bronny James will get drafted, no, I do not understand that move at all.
All right. As always, appreciate the time, sir. VSI Doc Sports, the way to give a follow. And, of course, he will, on his Instagram free daily video, have a comprehensive 3.5-hour breakdown 3 weeks out of the NFL draft, right?
You know what? The sad part is, you know what I'll be doing tomorrow when I'm watching Final Four and WrestleMania? NFL draft prop bets, because the bosses want them by Monday morning. So
I knew it.
So I cannot lie to you. That's what I'll be doing tomorrow night. So,
go outside. It's a gorgeous day. Go outside.
I wish I could.
Sports Hangover continues after this. Thank you, Rafael Esparza, as we are live at the Goldmine on Airline. Phone lines are open on the Rudiman Can Hotline, 800-998-1003. Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans.
Good afternoon.
Let's hit it.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengau.
A lot of times, they feel like he can play through it. But it's whether he can play through it, the rules are the rules. And if you get fouled, you get fouled.
That is head coach Willie Green on a foul is a foul. I'd like to have some of those calls. Pelicans get ready to take on the Spurs tonight. It's just in a big game. They're all big from here on out. Pels fans, help me out here. I've been talking about it yesterday. How you feeling when it comes to these final six games, final game of the homestand? Homestand has not gone the way you would have liked it. Brandon Ingram getting injured has affected it, sure. But as we played yesterday, from the players and coaches talking after the game on Wednesday, composure, frustration, matching physicality, things of that nature from what Zion was saying, those are things that he wants to see, and this team wants to see improve here as well. And then Zion injures himself. And it's a contusion on the middle finger. I'm hoping he plays tonight. You need him to play tonight. Because if he doesn't play tonight, I mean, that's a lot of offense that you're now missing between Brandon Ingram, who's your assist leader, Zion, playing point Zion, and if now C.J. McCollum is left to try to be the scorer and distributor of the basketball, that puts a lot of pressure on other areas of it here. It's just the wrong time, right, for Brandon Ingram and Zion to go down, or at least have injuries one way, shape, or form. Let's see if he plays. Hopefully he can play. Willie Green was asked yesterday after practice, does he think it's going to affect his shooting?
We hope it doesn't. We hope it doesn't affect his shooting, his ability, his touch around the basket. But we'll know more probably tomorrow.
Tomorrow being today during shoot-around. I've not seen if he's officially out or not. He's obviously on the injury report as having that injury. Coach was asked, again, another specific question about the small group lineup. It's what I brought up with Andrew Lopez at the start of the show, and I thought he was very fair and informative in what he thinks about it, too, in terms of how, look, if you want to go small because you think it can help you on the defensive end and match, that's great. But as I brought up, and he pointed out here as well, I wouldn't say the word detriment, right? But to, it's the only word I can think of right now, but to, is it to the detriment of rebounding, scoring? Look, I know it may not seem like a lot, but if Jonas essentially can get you double-digit points, he got you double-digit points last time in 19 minutes, 11. And more than likely, he'll get you double-digit rebounds. He had 6 in 19 minutes. My guess is if you play him 25, like Andrew Lopez says, chances are he could be close to 10. And I think that's what he said, and that's why I said it's a fair way to kind of look at it in assessment-wise. If you want to go and use a lineup that you think helps you in certain aspects, fine. But I'm with Andrew. I need at least 25 minutes of a guy that I know pretty much on a night-in, night-in basis is going to get you double-digit points and is going to get you close to, if not, double-digit rebounds. In the last couple of games, especially with Brandon Ingram out, you're being out-rebounded, he can help, and you're being outscored. I still can't see how that can't help you to have him in there. Again, I'm not a coach. I don't know the analytic numbers. I don't know the reasoning behind it. I would do it differently, but I'm not a coach. The other aspect of it, too, is the thing that your eyes do see. The physicality aspect. Jonas is a guy that basically, as he says, if I'm alive, I'm available. This guy is tough. He is available. He plays through injuries. He plays through pain. He is a big guy. And when you go small, the physicality aspect, I mean, you just watched it against Orlando. Banchero is a beast. All of these guys are big. Mo Wagner is going all over. I love Dyson Daniels. He had no shot at defending Mo Wagner when he catches the ball a foot or two from the rim. Dyson Daniels has a great opportunity to be able to be a good defender when he's on a perimeter against guys. We've seen him strip Luka, who's not a small guy, and things of that nature. But you're asking players in these small lineups to maybe do things that aren't their norm, aren't their strengths, in the hopes of doing something. And to my, I guess, question out loud is it though to the detriment of something else? Physicality is one of those, and Coach was asked about that.
No, not really. I think our small group, you know, has been really good for us. We got to finish possessions and rebound the ball a bit better. It's been an area of growth for us, but the more we've played that group, the more confident we've grown in playing them. And the game is going to be physical at this point in the year. We just have to understand it.
So, you know, look, you're hearing that. It's pretty interesting to kind of look at it, right? The question was, you know, does he think about maybe going to a bigger lineup at times because of the physicality, and he doesn't feel that way towards it. I'm curious to see if that continues either tonight or moving forward on that. Look, I understand you're missing players. It adjusts your lineup and things of that nature. I don't know. I don't know if it's a gut feeling for me, if it's just what. I feel like I'm watching a team's identity be different right now. It looks like a different Pels team to me. Maybe I'm wrong on all of those aspects of it. But it's just something to keep an eye on as we go into action tonight. We went over some of those games with Rafael Esparza a bit ago. Again, if you're just joining us, the Pelicans are in the postseason to an extent. Houston, losing last night at home to Golden State, secured the Pelicans at least a play-in spot. So at least they will be 10th. That's not what you want. I'm just telling you, they're at least going to play in 2 weeks. Play-in or first round. Okay? That's secured. The Pelicans have a 7-game lead on the Rockets, who are outside looking in. There's 6 games left. Simple math. Now, where are we standings-wise? T-Wolves are in first. Nuggets, a half game back because they lost by two yesterday. Jokic tried a three and missed. They lost 102-100. OKC's in third, one game back. The Clippers are in fourth, five games back. Dallas is now in fifth, seven games back. So the Clippers have opened up a two-game lead between four and five. Remember, 4-5 are the matchups in the postseason. Phoenix, same record as New Orleans, 45-31. They have the tiebreaker. They are eight games back. The Pelicans are eight games back, but New Orleans is seventh. Remember, Sunday, Phoenix plays and hosts New Orleans. Devin Booker, I'm not going. Anyway, Phoenix plays tonight, so we'll see what happens tonight with the Suns. The Kings are one game back of the Pelicans in eighth. Remember, however, not only do you play them again coming up on Thursday in game three of the four-game road trip, but you do own the tiebreaker. So they need one more win than you. So essentially, you have a two-game lead on Sacramento with six to play. The Lakers are ninth. You have a one-and-a-half-game lead on them in ninth. So if the Pels don't win some games here, it is a very realistic situation where you could see the Pels host a 9-10 play-in right now against Golden State. Golden State is 11 games out overall, three games behind you with six to play. You play Golden State next Friday. So that's how big they all are. You have got to win tonight. I mean, you should have been trying to win some of these other games. We're going to up the next hour listening to Trey Murphy and Dyson Daniels say, you know, they know that now's the time. Look, it really is the time. You are staring the 9-10 play-in game. At the very least, hopefully you'll host that. But if you go 3-3 in the next six, Golden State, 4-2, 5-1. Yeesh. And they're playing really good right now. What if you have to face the Lakers in that game on Sunday to stay out of that play-in for 9-10 and hope you're at least 7-8? Because at least if you lose there, you got a mulligan. You play the winner of 9-10. Look, they did it to themselves here. Pels have got to get some wins here. So we'll wrap up Hour 1, which is brought to you by New Wake Outfitters. Hour 2 is next on the Sports Hangover at ESPN New Orleans.